to this grand finale. This is the last night. Tell the person you are welcome. Tell the person, I hope you have been blessed all this while. I hope the Lord has been speaking to you. I hope you have been hearing his voice. I hope you have been receiving the anointing to be fruitful. All right, the Lord is good. Please remain standing. Let's not be sitting or standing and sitting like a pendulum. You understand? Let's just do everything we have to do. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, I'm going to do something slightly differently today. Please, everybody, open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Let's read that one first. After that, we'll now declare the word of the Lord together. All right, please, let's open our Bibles, everybody, to the book of Ecclesiastes. I want us to read from from chapter 11. We are reading 6 verses, and I want everybody to read it. Now, read it with this kind of voice, as if you want the person on your left and your right to hear, but not the person 3 spaces away from you. You understand what I'm saying? All right, now what we are going to do is that we are going to read it together, whichever translation you have, we are going to read the 6 verses. Now, are we ready? Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's read the Bible. 1, 2, go from verse 1. 1, 2, go. Cast your bread on the surface of the waters, for many find it after many days. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8. I do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. The clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Verse 4, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Verse 5, just as you do not know the path of the wind and how bones are formed in the womb of the pregnant woman, so you do not know the activity of God who makes all things. Verse 6, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. Amen.
Amen.
That's what they call cacophony. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But I believe all of us read it, okay? Now, because we read it different ways, I just want to highlight a few verses. He said, cast your bread on the surface of the waters. Some will tell you, invest in many ventures, for you will find it after many days. Divide your portion to 7 or even to 8, for you do not know what misfortune may occur on the earth. If the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. And whether a tree falls towards the south or the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Then verse 4 now says, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Verse 6 says, sow your seed in the morning, and do not be idle in the evening. For you do not know whether morning or evening sowing will succeed, or whether both of them alike will be good. The Lord is good. Now we're going to look at this evening as part of our study for the final day of this, our Laws of Fruitfulness series. And before we do that, let's activate the Word of God. Let's activate our spirit, our ability to understand God's Word by declaring the Word of God together. Are we all ready for that? All right, one, two, let us go. And the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Now that will be your portion this evening in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word will enter your heart. It will give you light and direction.
Amen.
It will heal you in every area.
Amen.
It will heal you spiritually.
Amen.
It will heal you financially.
Amen.
It will heal you physically.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and get into the teaching of the word for today. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's quickly get into it. Now we've just read our main text for today, and I'm just going to start right away. What I want to teach this evening as our final part of the Laws of Fruitfulness series, my plan is to stimulate the heart of brethren so that they will get up and use their gifts. Now, we have made a number of points. There are so many of them. Actually, later I thought about how come I was saying so many things. I said, look, if this was regular Kingdom World meeting, this subject will have been minimum. If it is, if we did it in a hurry, that would be 12 weeks. All right? 12 weeks is not every day. I mean, 12 sessions. That's what we mean. Okay? But this one will just have like 5 days. So we definitely had to lump many things together. Now, what are the things we have seen so far? And these are the things that are most important. First and foremost, primary importance. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul said, that one is sweet. We must read it. We must read it. Oh my God, that is so sweet. The Lord is good, though. Yes, it's so sweet. You know, that is the foundation of Christianity. You know, one thing that makes Christianity different, all right, is that it's not a set of laws, it's not a set of codes. Christianity is what somebody did for you that you are accepting. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
That's what Christianity is. It is not any other thing. Christianity is not how do you find your way to heaven, how do you walk so as to be able to get to heaven. No. Christianity is that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Christianity says Jesus is the way to the Father. Everybody says in life, how do you prosper? You get up early, go to bed late, work hard, sow your seed, do this, do that. Christianity says, no. Well, this is the key to prosperity. The grace of the Lord Jesus, in that he was rich, then for my sake he became poor, so that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. That is what Christianity is. Christianity is, how do I get them? People say, how do you get healing? Some say, all right, you know what you're going to do? You are going to jog you wake up in the morning, you jog, eat a very healthy diet. Are you getting my point? Or you even pray for healing. All right, you meditate for healing. You cross your legs, do your hands like this, and levitate until you attain a state of inner peace. Inner peace. Inner peace. And then healing will come to you. That's not Christianity. That sometimes there's spiritualism. I need to emphasize that. For people who don't understand this, let me just take a minute and explain. The fact that you're operating spiritual things, all right, does not mean that you're operating Christianity. Spiritual things are available to everybody. Everybody. Once you're a human being, you can contact the realm of the spirit. It does not mean you're operating Christianity. So if you are preaching a law and they say it works and people are giving you testimony, somebody gave me a book once. What's the name of that book now? No, I don't want to tell you the name so you won't go and look for it, all right, to read. But this book looks very, very spiritual. And the author, you know, explain how you focus on things, meditate upon them, focus on them until the thing becomes real to you and it will happen. And I think it was a lady or two guys who wrote the book and they were giving all kinds of testimonies of how these things came to be. Did it happen like that? Yes. Is that Christianity? No. That's not Christianity. What is Christianity? Christianity means that Jesus paid for healing. I was talking about how do you get healed. And because he paid for healing, I walk in the healing that he paid for. Christianity is that Jesus took my infirmities and my diseases, nailed them to the cross. By his stripes, I have been healed. Christianity does not mean, I have not learned some spiritual methods by which I get things done. There are people that do yoga and they get some things done. Christianity does not even mean casting out of demons. Because people were casting out demons before Jesus came. He said, if you are saying I cast out demons by Beelzebub, how do your sons cast them out? That means their sons were casting out demons. But how do Christians cast out demons? We mention the name of Jesus and then the demon disappears. That is Christianity. Everything is centered around Christ. Everything is centered around Christ. So we read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. What did I receive? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he appeared to many people, and then he appeared to me. Let me just summarize it there. What was he saying? This is what Christianity is. Christ died for you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That is the basis for everything. That is the basis for forgiveness of sins. That is the basis for prosperity. That is the basis for fruitfulness. That is the basis for everything that you will ever accomplish in life. There's no other basis, all right? It is not human connection. It is that Christ died for you. It's not your diligence. It's that Christ died for you. It's not your ability to pronounce and see what you say come to pass. No, it is that Christ died for you. That is of first importance. I like, this Bible I'm using, New American Standard. He said, I deliver to you as of first importance. As of first importance. And I'm asking you again this evening, hold it in your heart as of first importance. Hold it, hold on to it tightly. Clutch it. Wrap yourself around it as of first importance. Hold it tight as of first importance. Wrap everything around it. Okay? If you want to pray to God for healing, wrap it around this. If you want to prosper, wrap it around this. Please follow that. Anything you want to do, wrap it around this. If you want to go to the Lord to ask for something in prayer, wrap it around this. It is crucial. Please, I must add this one to it. Like Momiyan said, I can't preach without saying this. And so I will just not disappoint her today. I will say it again. Are you getting my point? Please, when you go to the Lord, there is what is called praying in the name of Jesus. That's what I want to explain. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? It means when I go to him to ask for anything, the basis upon which I expect to receive it is what Jesus did. Of first importance, that's what we're talking about. If I'm going to ask God for prosperity, I don't pray that, God, you see, I have labored hard. You see, I have not been slack. You see, I have sown my seed. Pastor Banks said, exercise your gift. You can see, oh, I have been exercising my gift, oh. Lord, can you say I'm lazy? You can't. Uh-huh. So you will bless me. As righteous as it sounds, you have sinned. Let's call it spade a spade. As righteous as it sounds, by doing that, you will have sinned. You will have taken the name of the Lord thy God and placed it on a vain thing. You will have broken the spirit of the third commandment. Even though it sounds nice, don't do it. When you want to ask the Lord for something, don't quote your good works. Definitely don't do this joke that's to this Christianity. I have sowed the seed. I have tithed diligently. My first fruit was very first and it was fruity. Listen to me. These are the very reasons why the Lord will not answer you. He said, but my pastor said, your pastor does not know what he's saying. That's why you came here this evening. I'm sorry. I'm giving you what the Bible says. Jesus said, you will ask the Father, how? In my name. Not any other way. That's something to emphasize. You ask in his name. Of first importance, Jesus died for your sins. That is why you can ask the Father for anything. All those works, should you do them? Of course. You are a good person. Why? You are like your Father who is in heaven. So you continually do good works. It's your nature. It's your nature. You won't hear now that, Pastor Banky found out that he doesn't need to breathe to go to heaven. So he stopped breathing. Am I going to do that? You wouldn't do that. Why do I continue breathing? I'm alive. It's part of me. In the same manner, good works, the doing of good works is part of the believer in Christ Jesus. It is most certainly not the way by which you get things out of the hands of the Lord. Of first importance, you go to the Lord to ask for something in prayer. Remember, he said, ask in the name of Jesus. Why will I be healed? Lord, you know I've not been feeling well. I need healing. See, they say I should jog. I have jogged. They say I should not eat cholesterol. You know, I don't eat cholesterol. They said, don't eat sugar. Lord, you know I don't eat sugar. He said, sleep well. Lord, I've been sleeping well. He said, eat vegetables. Lord, you see, I've been eating vegetables. So, Lord, you will cleanse me inside out. Like I was listening to the advert of Osa Heba. They said, when you come, they'll give you the Osa cleanser free of charge. And so I said, what would Osa cleanser do for you free of charge? They said, Osa cleanser will remove all the impurities that's not letting herbs work in your body. I said, very good marketing strategy. Once I have given you the Osa cleanser, I have removed the reason why my medicine will not work. So you now buy the medicine. I like that business. The Lord is good. Alright, so I want to say that, look, we don't say, okay, I've done all of this. We just say, Lord, I need healing. What is my basis for receiving it? Because Jesus died to give it to me. Anytime I come back to prayer, I insist upon that. That's what I hold on to. That's what I hold on to. Say, Lord, it is not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus did for me. Paul said, this is of what? First importance. Let's not forget it, all right? So we have looked at that. So we have looked at many other things which will not take a lot of time around to start reviewing. We have emphasized that everything we receive in life is a gift. It's a gift. No matter how qualified you appear for something, faith helps us to understand life. The basis of understanding life is what? Faith. Faith is the reason, is the way by which we understand. So this man has a PhD, he accomplished this. The Bible says by faith we understand that the PhD did not produce that. Faith helps us understand it. So many people say, Aaron, they say, get a PhD, we'll achieve that. They will all get PhDs, and they get to that point, and they are not able to achieve it. And Solomon will look at them and say, I told you, it's vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. It's like chasing after the wind. You should have asked God, he would have told you that I will give that one to you on another premise. That's not the only way to it. I use PhD for that man does not mean that's the way I would do it for everybody else. Most people who became, let's just use, you know, learn a lesson for the fig tree. Let's look at natural things. All these billionaires you see in the world, all right? Most of them don't have a lot of degrees. But Warren Buffett does. Warren Buffett, what he uses for his business was what he learned as a master's student from his lecturer. It's the investment principle, I've forgotten the name of the man that taught him, that he stuck with, and it made him the richest man in the world for a long time. It has produced for him all his years. However, I can assure you of one thing, somebody else will learn the same thing, use the same principles, will not get the same result. That's how life is. Some who don't understand say, look, follow Warren Buffett, get your master's, get a PhD, learn investment principles. Most people who learn investment principles are very poor today. But you know why? You will never know. They don't write books. Nobody interviews them. Everybody says, well, come and interview you. Let's interview your PhD. How did it help you to fail? Nobody's going to be interviewed. But the Bible says, by faith, we understand that these things have been happening and they will continue to happen. I hope you're getting my point. Warren Buffett made his own like that. Bill Gates walked out of school. Michael Dell walked out of school. They didn't need their degrees just to take a lesson from physical things. So you see, by faith, we understand life. And what am I teaching to the people of God in this seminar? That everything you are going to get in life is a gift. You must bear that in mind. Because like I said something, let me just repeat it again. What we are doing, anytime we are teaching the word of God, is to lay up, you know, to properly arrange the hearts of the children of God. Because when their hearts are properly arranged, their spirits will attract what is right. Your thought pattern, the processes going on inside you, decide what is attracted towards you. If you have wrong processes in thought going on inside you, you attract something that is wrong. If you have the right processes, you will repair what is wrong and attract that which is right. It's just that process I'm trying to address. So you know that in life, what am I pursuing is going to be a gift. And we said if it is a gift, all right, it doesn't mean that we don't qualify for it at all. It means that what we are doing is not how we are going to get it. We get it by prayer. And so the dedication to prayer, Paul said, be devoted to prayer. And that Romans chapter 12, he said, be devoted to prayer. So we are devoted to prayer. We're not devoted to plotting. We are devoted to prayer. Everything we want to do, we take it to the Lord in prayer. Say, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So we trust in the Lord in every single thing that we are doing because we know it's a gift. But then God says, all right, until I bring that, I want it to qualify. Because God, even though he's giving you as a gift, he doesn't waste things. He himself said it, do not cast your pearls before swine. It's very important. God doesn't like to give things to people who can't handle them. He doesn't do that. So he said to himself, don't cast your pearls before swine. So if somebody is going to handle something, the Lord will say, all right, you have to show to me that this gift you have asked for, you are able to handle it. James and John came to the Lord and said, grant that we'll sit on your left and on your right in your kingdom. Grant that to us. We want to sit on your left and your right. But the Lord said, can you handle it? Can you handle it? They said, yes, we can. He said, look, this is how people handle that position. First, they have to be able to take what I'm going to take. They have to be able to take my sufferings. They have to be able to go through my own tribulations. They said, we can do it. It's okay. The tribulations you will get. Sufferings you will get. But as for those positions, it's a gift of God. Let's see whether he will give them to you. I hope you're getting my point. He's the one that determines. However, for you to even qualify, you must have gone through my sufferings. You must have gone through my own trials. So for us to qualify for the things we are looking for in the hands of the Lord will say, okay, let me be sure. Before, for us to receive it, the Lord says, let me be sure you can handle it. So what does he do? He gives us talents. He gives minas. He gives gifts. He says, do business with this. Be occupied with this until I come. I'm going to come, but be occupied with this. So God says, okay, let me see how you are demonstrating faithfulness in the things that belong to another person. This is not yours. It belongs to somebody else. Demonstrate faithfulness. Your own will be a gift. It will be a gift. But demonstrate faithfulness in that which belongs to somebody else. These are the ways by which we lay ourselves ready for the blessing, the thing that we want to receive from the hand of God. One of the seeds we sow is demonstrates faithfulness. We said that life has seasons. There is seed time and there is harvest. But the problem, like we said, a lot of people don't know the right seeds. So they say, just plant money and you will prosper. And unfortunately, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible didn't say that. You see those who prospered in the Bible, they didn't do it like that. Jabez prayed, he walked into prosperity. Abraham obeyed, he went into prosperity. Are you getting my point? There are different ways. Giving for us as believers must be a sign of faith. It's not something we do so as to trigger prosperity. No, it must be a sign of our faith. What produces prosperity? We see the scriptures. He said, meditate on the word, delight in it. All right? This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate therein day and night. He said, there's a man, that's someone also, in all that he does, he prospers. He said to him, walk before me and be perfect. I will bless you. It's a constant walk with God, a constant dealing with the word of God that brings forth prosperity. It's not a single, you just give money. The giving of money, if it's not a sign of faith, it's a waste of time. It must be a sign of faith. Something that faith is provoking inside you. So people sometimes they misinterpret what that seed is. And that's what I'm explaining again. Faithfulness is a seed. Faithfulness is a seed. Prayer is a seed. Obedience to the word of God is a seed. Constantly declaring God's word, sowing the word of God into your future is a seed. Exercising your gift is a seed. And we said that, listen, that gift God gives to everybody. I said something when I was speaking yesterday. There are two sides. One, there's a gift you know you have. He said, exercise it. I'm going to talk about that today. But then sometimes just God just puts in a place. It is not as if David had the gift of being a shepherd. No. What just simply happened was that, listen, it was time to shepherd the sheep. And it was the one that it was committed into his hands. But he had the gift of singing. He had the gift of releasing prophetic psalms. He had the ability to play well on an instrument. We know about those gifts. But his father committed into his hands the sheep. All right? And they proved faithful in those things. Those things put together. The Lord, one day, when he came by, he said, be occupied until I come. Do business until I come. The Lord now returned and anointed him king in the midst of his brethren. When Samuel came to their house. You are getting the point here. That's the way it works. Now, there's something I said again. I'm reviewing everything before we talk today so we can close. I said, listen, as believers, we must recognize that we are supernatural people. We are not average people. What happens to the normal person on the road should not happen to you. You are getting my point here. In the midst of recession, Isaac can sow in the land and become rich. Crucial point. We must understand it. We read Genesis chapter 30. Please go and read that thing again. A crafty man, a dubious man, tried to defraud a man that is blessed. Or a man that was blessed. Jacob served for 14 years because he wanted to marry a woman. They gave him a wrong one. That one ate up his first 7 years. In answer to get the right one, you do another 7 years. So at the end of 14 years, he said, now, what am I going to have for myself? The father-in-law said, all right, choose something. They agreed. I will take the black sheep, any animal that has spots, that's not pure white and all of that. Laban said, no problem. And then Laban, after he left, he went and removed all those animals from the flock and gave to his own sons to hold. Of course, by the time Jacob got there, there was nothing. We know the rest of the story. The Lord now ministered, I'm convinced, appeared to Jacob and told him what to do. That was what happened. Peel the sticks like this. Put them in front of the animals while they mate. And that was a strange thing. It was not a normal thing. And Jacob did it consistently and it produced results consistently. Supernatural was now part of his life. Laban couldn't get the point. I tried to defraud this man, but it didn't work. And that's what I'm going to explain to you. Don't even think that my boss didn't treat me well. That's why I'm not prospering now. If you deserve to prosper, no matter how hard your boss is, God will use supernatural means to bring it to your way. Yes. I hope you're getting my point here. That's why Peter said, look, don't let anybody be able to catch you that you are suffering for doing evil. He said, do good, then be punished. It is better. Why? Because the Lord who you are serving, he's watching. That's what happened. Jacob served Laban well. Served Laban from the bottom of his heart. Laban himself testified, before you came, I wasn't this rich. Since you came in 14 years, my flock had multiplied exceedingly. I went and checked. They said it is because of you. I divined. I did all my spiritual arrangements to find out what have I done to deserve this. And they said nothing apart from the fact that Jacob is with you. He served Laban very well. And the time came. God said, time to pay you. Listen, the time to pay you will come. It will come. It will come. Wherever you find yourself, serve as it is the Lord you are serving. That's what Christianity is. Serve as if you are serving the Lord. The time to pay you will come. The time to pay you will come. Please let me emphasize that again. People of God, your life is supernatural. Your life is supernatural.
Amen.
We said something yesterday, well, 2 days ago, in the morning session, that excellence must be the character of the believer. It must be. And I want to add something to it today. You use supernatural means to bring forth excellence. Please go and read Ben Carson's book, Gifted Hands. It will show you how he improved neuroradiology, even though he was a resident in neurosurgery. He just showed them that, look, this thing that I used to do that by trial and error, if you do it like this, it won't be trial and error. Go and read his book. Excellence came into neuroradiology because it was there. Wherever you are, what God wants to do is to release excellence. We read the story in Daniel chapter 5 about Daniel. The Bible said he had an extraordinary spirit, an insight, understanding, the ability to solve difficult problems, interpretation of enigmas was with Daniel. All these things were with him. Why? He had an extraordinary spirit, a spirit like that of the holy gods, it was said concerning him. That was what distinguished him. And I'm saying that is God's plan for every child of God. I must emphasize it again. You hear of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, you know, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, discerning of spirits. All of these things are not limited to preachers. It is the way they manifest that is different. Maybe as a preacher, I'm standing here. I say, I perceive in my spirit, there is somebody here, and I give you a small rundown of your life, and I see what the Lord is saying to you. It sounds very nice. But believe me, somebody can deliver goods to your office, it is sealed, and you will perceive in your spirit that the goods inside here is fake. So before you go, open it. They say, oh God, don't worry, open this thing. I want to see before I go. Before you go. They unwrap it, you find out that they have put Chinese cable for you when you ordered Nigerian cable. How did you know? It's called descending of spirits, word of knowledge. A man can come for interview. As soon as he sits down, the Holy Spirit will just let you know, this one is a thief. He will talk, where were you working before? He tells you, why did you leave the place? You know, my boss doesn't appreciate talent. I was the one. I was the one contributing mostly to that company. But he doesn't appreciate, doesn't know how to reward. I said, let me leave, and he will see. And as he's saying that one, you know, there are things you know, you don't know how you know. You are sure this boy is a thief. Ole. And he finishes talking. He says, so which company is that one? He tells you. Say, no problem. All right. And he looks very skilled. All right. You check the guy is skilled. Look at his qualification. Look at everything. No problem. He goes away. You tell your secretary, find me the number of this company. Call their HR person for me. Ask about this boy. They say, where is he? We are looking for him. Tell him to wait. Police. The Lord is good. How did you find out? It is called the manifestation of the spirit. In fact, I'm beginning to be convinced that that's the most important thing that I brought during this seminar. For Christians to understand that their lives are spiritual and they should expect manifestations of the spirit. Listen, like Joseph, God will reveal to you what the forex market is going to be like in 5 years' time. And he'll tell you today, begin to prepare for it. He gives a revelation. It tells you ahead. There are times they say, okay, we're going to buy this kind of size of generators. God will just tell you. You are sleeping one night. You just dream. And you see lightning falling from heaven, just hitting the ground constantly. And the Lord said, did you count? Say yes. How many did you count? Say 24. He said, 24 hours power will be in your environment. Oh, it was a dream. 24. They now tune to the TV next day. And Babatunde Fashola will now come on air and say, no, we are planning for this, we are planning for that, so that power becomes like, change, they have come again. APC change. They'll be laughing at them, and they'll be ordering generators for hundreds of millions of naira. And people say, are we not going to do that? You say, no. Why? You call those who understand spiritual things. Last night, I dreamt, and the Lord said, by this time, in 2 years' time, power will hardly fail. That everything this man said on TV, the Lord said he will confirm it. And I tell the people, say, from now on, I want us to join the Lord in that job. How do we do it? Let's start praying and prophesying. Let's start declaring. At the end of the day, 5 years' time, you check how much you have spent in your own company. People, you have saved billions of naira in investments you did not make into the power sector. Why? Because God told you what's going to happen. That's it. Visions and revelations are not for preachers alone. I hope you're getting my point here. And what am I preaching? Expect a miracle. Expect it to be part of your life. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. Expect it. Don't leave it for the pastors alone. It's not only pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers. All right? It's not only apostles that have those things. Yes, they lay hands on the sick and they get healed. That is true. But do you know you can buy a business, a bank that's dead for 1 naira? You know, that's how they sell them. Oh, that's how they sell them. When the bank is dead, CBN will sell it to you. Or is it not CBN? What's the name of that company? Amcon, yes. Amcon will sell it to you for 1 naira. Please, don't rush to it. It's very cheap. Let me buy. No, it is with the asset and the liabilities. Depositors' funds with them is in maybe like 200 billion naira. And their total cash asset is now up to 20 billion. So you have actually bought it for 180 billion. But they also have assets. You understand? You balance it out. But then there are people, they say, don't touch it. It's toxic. The Lord said, have you ever heard of gifts of healings? It's plural. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's gifts and healings. That is, there are different types of gifts. There are different types of healings. There's healing for financial sector. There's healing for dead companies. Greater work shall they do. I raise Lazarus from the dead. They will raise a company from the dead. I hope you're getting my point here. Their own operation is different. It's not as if they lay hands. In the name of Jesus, I command you, leave. No. There's nothing to lay hands on like that. They go to the boardroom. They sit down and they are negotiating. Say, no. This, the liabilities are heavy. Assets, not so much. The best we can do is pay the 1 naira. When the main guys now sit down, say, this company. Now, listen to me. When Jesus cursed the tree, we talked about that here when we're talking about total faith. Please, I want you to follow this. Please follow me very closely. When Jesus cursed the tree, he was not praying. Go and read that, Mark chapter 11. When he cursed the tree, he was not praying. It was not Peter, hold me on this side. James, this side. John, hold my back in case I want to fall under the power. There's nothing like that. It's not as if brethren join hands, let's curse this tree. Oh, I feel the power coming. This tree is about to die. You won't try. Just watch. There's nothing like that. What did he do? He was just passing. He looked for a tree. He said, nothing on the tree. Nonsense tree. Nothing will happen here again. And he kept on walking. It was very casual talk. It's the same way man annoys you on the road. And you tell the bus driver, waka, it no go better for you. You don't mean it though. And that's why Jesus never said anything like that. There are words that he never found in the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Go to hell for him was not a joke. If he said it, the fellow will be roasted. Satan will be so happy. I got a client. Are you getting my point? For him, go to hell was not just an insult. It was a declaration of power. So when he said to that woman, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. If that woman will say amen, the ability to sin has been removed from her. That's how the Lord Jesus was. So when he looked at the tree and he said to the tree simply, rubbish tree. Nonsense tree. This tree is dead. That's all he said. Please, I want you to understand what I'm saying here. It's like, you know the way people say things like, this country is finished. Do you notice that? They just say, this country is finished. And when they say it, they really are not trying to curse the country. They are expressing their frustrations. This government is useless. They don't even know what they are doing. Are you seeing that? They are not trying to curse the country. They are expressing what? Their frustrations. That was exactly what the Lord Jesus did. He looked at a tree and said, this tree is useless. Nobody will eat from it again. And that tree respected itself nicely, folded the roots, packed it up, packed everything. The leaves withered, the stem began to dry up. Why? Because the Lord spoke casually to it. I hope you're getting the point here. The Lord just spoke casually to it. I'm going to bring out something here. So where God is taking us to, please listen to the series, Habitation of God and Total Faith. We have it here. Habitation of God, Total Faith. Listen to the two of them. What God is doing in our lives is a situation in which we will talk what appears like casual talk, but it's loaded with power. We will say something that appears as if we're just talking, but it's loaded with power. Back to what I was saying. So the men will just sit down in the company and say, what do you think? We just look and say, in the boardroom. Say this one, No, if we handle it, it will leave. Let them sell it to us. It's almost like casual talk. He hasn't given any plan. But when the mouth of the Lord pronounces, the spirit goes out to begin to gather. Jesus didn't say anything about how to kill the tree. He just said to the tree, you will not live again. In the same manner, the child of God that is blessed, full of the spirit in an area, will just say simply, don't worry, this country will be good. That's why believers fight the good fight of faith. Wage warfare for this nation. There are too many. Thank God those people are light in the realm of the spirit. If they were not light, by now we'll all be dead. The negative talk, they talk into the air all the time. All right? Thank God individually they are light, but there are many. And it's most potent when you have Christians joining them. And they think they're analyzing what the head of state is doing. Anybody occupying that seat is under spiritual influence. There is no ruler that's not anointed. If you talk too much negative things against about him, his brain will jam. He won't be able to think straight. He will not be able to understand anything. But if we all rise up and declare God's word in his direction, he will see clearly. So our tongues have been given to us not to run commentaries, but to prophesy good into situations. But people see that every day they are running commentary. And they think their commentary is neutral. It's not neutral. Back to what I was saying. So I'm talking about the working of miracles. These spiritual manifestations. So the man looks and says, don't worry. This business will do well. And he says it, you know, almost like casual talk, but the spirit is alive. So the spirit begins to breathe life again into what somebody thought was dead. You are getting my point here? That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's how it is with believers. So when there are challenges, because the Christians understand the working of the spirit, they will just say it almost casually. Like every challenge is a stepping stone. And God arranges that challenge and it becomes a stepping stone. Please, this must become a normal part of the life of believers. And I want you to tell your neighbor, expect it. The supernatural life. That's why I like one thing Chris Devon said when he came to Asaba, when I was in Asaba then, he was teaching. And he said that, from now on, fast your words. You want to fast your words? Doesn't mean talk fast. It means use your words sparingly. Don't use it too often. And most importantly, don't use it anyhow. Are you getting my point? Especially on things that are important. I want to add my own words to it now. Especially on things that are important. Recession. Let me tell you something about media, news media. God said, I was teaching earlier in the morning, minister's meeting. He said, I will pour my spirit on all flesh. And we said, how is he pouring his spirit? There was one way. Holy Spirit came down, cloven tongues on everybody's head. That's one way. But then Jesus said, there's another way. He said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is when God wants to pour his spirit, all right? The number one way he does it is to pour his word. It's a constant outpouring of his word. Now, there's a reason why I'm emphasizing this. Very important. Please follow this. You will see, therefore, when Satan wants to pour a negative spirit into people so that they will affect the environment and kill the environment, he also pours what? Words. How do I kill the economy? Tell all of them to start talking about recession. Incidentally, I heard Sanusi Emir of Kano, former CBN governor. I heard him say it. I read his speech on it. The speech given by Peter Obi some years ago that we were watching recently, he said it also, that his professor, the Kellogg founder, he said it, the Kellogg Business School. Different people have said it. The economy is run on what? Confidence. It's confidence. Sanusi said he used to use news to manipulate the strength of the naira against the dollar. As CBN governor, just all of you that are holding dollar, don't worry. And I will soon cry. He will announce that he's going to release $500 million tomorrow. He doesn't have. And he's going to get presidential approval to do it every 2 weeks for 2 months. Everybody will release their dollar. All the ones they are hiding, they release it. They think maybe it was 180 those days. It suddenly started dropping down towards 160. Those who wanted to hold out before, when they see it dropping, they pump out their own. Now, everybody not assumes that Sanusi has been releasing the $500 million he said they will release. Meanwhile, the man did nothing of such. He understood the economy is run on confidence. So when Satan wants to destroy people, what does he do? express lack of confidence, tells them you are in recession, and they say, amen. Don't invest your money, they say, amen. Have you heard we are in recession? Yes, recession. Are you serious? Recession. Oh, we are dead. Yes. Are you dying? Yes. I will do my dying tomorrow. You understand my point? I'm just by power of words. And these things are not, look, they are not just words. Jesus said the words are spirit and they carry, you know, their life. That is, they carry a spiritual substance that has effect, all right, when it gets there. So everybody says, you know, recession, recession, recession. Before you know what's happening, the whole society is frozen. I've meditated on the power of wealth, that is the origin of wealth, for a long time, for years. There was a time I haven't told you, can help me get a book, The Origin of Wealth. I wanted to understand something. I finally came to a conclusion after many years. I said, listen, if there's no war and there's no famine, natural disaster, all right, things that you see it happen, maybe war breaks out, people can't go to farm, people can't harvest, there's no industry, there's nothing going on. If you don't find that, and you don't find natural disaster like fire breaks and burns over half of the country, you find the hurricane everywhere, destroying things, or it just does not rain for 3 straight years. If you don't see any of these things, every other economic thing they tell you is an imagination. Because wealth has to be produced, it's not inside people's minds. You must produce it. So if none of these things happen and they still tell you there's recession, then it's paper manipulation. It's news manipulation. They say there is recession. Everybody says, yes, there is recession. So you now see people start trying to hedge against recession. They start stacking up money in forex, in gold, in all of those things, and the price of those things starts increasing, thereby creating recession. I hope you are getting my point here. That's why words are very powerful. So when they start telling you there's recession, if you keep on saying amen, amen to it, look, you don't. The only time you hear me use the word recession is when we're talking like this, trying to warn people against it. My declaration all the time is, it's not recession for me. And if enough of us shake our heads and listen, it's not recession. Recession, we say, why can't somebody even play with you small? And recession will disappear. The Lord is good. Now, please, I'm trying to say something. Christians should realize, that's why you have to fast your words. You don't just say anything you like, because God wants to use your words for something. He wants to put you in an industry. Train you there, because faith is a tangible substance. We talk about it in total faith. It builds up your faith to a particular level. That you just make a statement like, we will soon stop importing rice. And for that reason, God will do everything he has to do to make sure that 99% of rice consumed in the country is produced locally. Why? Because one person, two people did not raise Lazarus. One person did. One person said, we will soon stop. The next thing you know is, more fields are being farmed. Federal government is making statements, making releasing new policies. Thank you for the word. Releasing policies. At the end of the day, we are eating more rice than before, but 90%, 99% farmed locally. These things are spiritually determined. When people kept on saying, listen, we can't have uninterrupted power supply in the country. If they keep on saying, we will never have. But if enough people keep on saying, we will have, we will have, we will have, we will have. The power will start arranging itself. All kinds of things will come together to make sure the power comes. These things are spiritually determined. And believe me, these are the seeds you sow for fruitfulness in your life. Because you see, it is those that love Zion that God pours a blessing upon. It's not, if you love yourself, you are not going far. But if you do things like this, water the environment. He that waters will himself be watered. That's the way it is. So very important you fast your words, because God is going to use your words. You will look at your, you know, you want to buy off a coin. People say it's dying. I'm talking about spiritual gifts, how it works. People say it's dead. You say, no, don't worry. And let me tell you something about faith again. Faith. Let me just say this again. I keep on saying this. It is not as if you are a gambler. Who is a gambler? The person who doesn't understand what will happen, but just decide that peradventure something will happen and takes an unnecessary risk. That's not what we're talking about. We are saying that when you get there, you are like Joseph. You just see and you understand. A persuasion comes into you. You're not trying to gamble. Some people say that, and you said so. You're like, why couldn't you people see it? There are many things that maybe, no, like I tell people that, I'm not talking as a prophet. You know, look at this America election. I kept on telling everybody, all of you are witnesses. I said, this is not Trump man, we win. Last minute, everything went, all the polls showed that he lost. Even he started accepting that he was going to lose. Me too, and I said, it looks like he has finally lost. But I just opened my mouth and said, hey, this man might win. Why did I say it? I just remembered Brexit, in which even Nigel Farage, who spent 30 years fighting for Brexit, accepted a few days before the referendum that they are going to lose. And eventually, they won. He was pleasantly though, but he was surprised. I checked a few things. If I had to put my money, I probably would have put it on Donald Trump. Maybe I wouldn't have been confident enough, I don't know. But I woke up in the morning, put on the news, and I was hearing congratulations. I said, oh, you won. I wasn't gambling. But I had reasons for just suspecting. My suspicion was strong that there's a way spiritual things work. Oh. You'll be surprised, though. God likes to confound the wise in their wisdom. Are you getting my point? These are the kind of things I just kept on saying that made me, I never wavered in my saying that this man will win. Oh. It was not a prophetic. It wasn't like I was going on the road and I just saw two eagles flying and one fell down to the earth. And I looked at the one that fell down, it was female. You know, your friend said, what I saw was a woman. They say, ah, okay. He said, look, Donald Trump's wife is also a woman. Amen. The Lord is good. So I'm going to emphasize something here. So what we're talking about, it's not, you're not a gambler. God just gives you insight that your neighbor doesn't have. And I'm preaching again, expect such supernatural manifestations. For that reason, you will now become one. It's not only pastors, preachers, you know, evangelists, apostles, prophets that lay hands on things and they recover. You can go into a factory. You've invested 50 million naira. Production start now. Machine kick. Nah, joke. Bank of Industry. Wait. You know, they are expecting their money back. That's what I mean. They kick the thing. Oh, who are those who installed this machine? They said they are from Germany. Get them. All right. The people tell you that they will be around in 3 weeks. 3 weeks of which more raw materials will start spoiling. Don't forget, you are supposed to be processing maybe banana fruits, you know, plantain, but perishable. Yeah? So they tell you that, look, listen, 3 weeks, it's an emergency. They say there's nothing they can do. In fact, they don't have visas. And you go to the machine, tell your wife, come, let's go at night. Two of you will lay hands on it. Say, in the name of Jesus, you will work. Now, these are real things I want Christians to start expecting. Now, people say, are you saying the machine will start working? I'll tell you what I'm saying. Yes. One way is you can't just come back next day and the angel goes and kills the rat that you didn't see that chopped one wire. And once the rat, see, next time I see you, I'll kill your generations backward. For and angels are real. And they come, they tie the wire. Or more likely, what's likely to happen is that you just sit down there. You come in the morning, they start digging, it's not starting. So in the name of Jesus, it will work. Then somebody says, let's call a local engineer. Say, please, I don't want trouble. This thing we imported is 50 million naira. Does the engineer know what we're talking about? Say, oh, God, let's just call him. He won't do anything that he doesn't know. And the guy just walks in and looks at the machine and says, calls his friend. Is that not the one we're looking at online the other day? It should work. Now, why shouldn't it work? You go there, check something, and say, oh, God. No, spiritual things are funny. It is the man that wired it. It's supposed to be three-phase. It's a three-phase machine. It looks like they have three phases, but see, they looped it from the pole before. I said, such a simple thing. It just worked funny. They have rearranged the trouble to put it somewhere else in such a manner that a local engineer can see it and fix it. Sometimes even inside. And the man says, let me see. Opens the panel. I mean, the other day, you know, something happened. Just to give an example. I work on my computer a lot. We cut messages. Some of these messages, we cut them, slice them, dice them, and put them 10-minute blocks. If you listen to us on radio, this is all the things we put on radio are cut from meetings like this. And cutting 10 minutes out of this kind of thing is not as easy as it looks. If you've done the job, you know, it's easier to go and preach 10 minutes than preach 1 hour and try to cut into 10 minutes. Oh, that's why you know some of these jokes you crack, it doesn't fit radio. You have to remove, once you're removing it now, the thing will now look disjointed. There are times I have spent 1 hour trying to cut things into 10 minutes. When I finish, I delete the whole thing. 1 hour is wasted. I do that all the time. So, and I back up periodically. So when I'm working on my computer. So one night I woke up just a few nights ago. And there's a book I'm writing. I've lost a book. The book, I'm rewriting it already. How to Receive from God. The other title is Salvation is Still by Faith. I wrote that book one third of the way. My computer crashed, it vanished. I normally back up, but I didn't back that one up. I backed up, but I missed where I kept that one. So by the time I started looking for it, I didn't find it again. I did everything, I didn't find it. So that night, a few nights ago, there's a book I'm working on, all the recent radio messages we have worked on, things I've edited, all kinds of work that I've done, even in the office, they're all on the computer, I've not backed up in a while. I woke up during the night to put on my computer. I just woke up, I was feeling quite awake, let me do some work. Put on the computer, on. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. No bootable disk. Are you joking? Even if the thief comes, say, if you go come on the whole computer, will you open it to remove the hard disk? I said, nah, demo. Shut it off again. Start it again. Blink, blink, blink. No bootable disk. Insert bootable disk and press key. And press any key. I press all the keys. Nothing happened. I said, Father in heaven, this is not happening. This is not happening. Father God, it cannot be happening. This is definitely not happening. I began to pray.